On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. It's a rare opportunity that I keep a doctor waiting, but that's just what I did, so I apologize. Dr. Rutul Dalal is back on the line. He's a medical director of infectious diseases, hashtag rockstar doc from UPMC. He's been a real go-to guy. But we really appreciate all your time and hard work, and this is two sessions today, two 10-minute segments, so I really appreciate all your help and hard work. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in again.
Thank you so much, Mark. And again, thanks for the kind words.
Well, I want to ask you, this is going to be a quickie, almost an aside. How did we learn that vaccinations work, that we could ingest something, take a shot, do something that would make us immune in the future? Where did that come from?
Well, that started many years ago, basically. Like, you know, when there was, like, you know, when people were like, you know, the milkmaids were like, you know, trying to get milk out of the udders of the cows, and it looked like, you know, probably that they were getting immune to the smallpox. That's when they found out that, you know, when they were like, you know, extracting milk from the cows, they probably had the cowpox infection themselves, which was giving immunity towards them towards the smallpox. So this was years ago, and that's when they found out that, you know, they were being passed on some passive immunity from the skin of the udders of the cows. And that's when, like, you know, they started isolating this particular virus, which was giving immunity against smallpox. And that's how they isolated it. And we got the smallpox vaccine, which helped us eradicate this. Now, coming back to the COVID stuff, like, you know, they actually knew about this particular virus because this virus was there in the past infections of SARS and MERS, which we had a few years ago, which is again belonging to the same broad family. So they had isolated the genome molecule of this particular virus. All they wanted to do was they had to find a vehicle for it to get inside people's bodies. And that's when they found that lipid envelope in which the virus was put in and then injected in there. Now, there have been so many, queries about how the hell did we get this thing isolated so fast, and within a year, how did we get the vaccine developed? That's because, like, you know, there's a lot of money and a lot of resources pumped into it, which said that, you know, probably you got the animal studies and the human studies being worked upon simultaneously. Typically, you finish three phases of studies in animals, and then you move on to the humans. But this time, they went in together, side by side, and that's how we got the vaccine in under a year.
Are there some people who do not get COVID-19?
There could be some people who might not, depending upon their genetic factors, depending upon their host immunity. But, like, you know, who is that person is very difficult to say. Even that person themselves wouldn't know if they have the capacity to not get the virus. One must also not forget the environmental factors. It also depends on how much was the viral load which was ingested by them. How many people were there around them? What was the humidity? What was the temperature of the surroundings? And which way the wind direction was blowing? So there are so many variables which come into play to decide whether, hey, you know what, does Mark or Dalal get the virus or not? So it's very difficult to say.
Let's talk about the state of the pandemic. You and I have talked about peaks, and we talked in the summer when we were in a bit of a lull. Where are we now? What's the state of COVID-19 at the moment?
Yep, so we definitely hit a big, a peak after November. So basically, just to give you an idea, like, you know, in UPMC Susquehanna, which covers all the counties where Susquehanna has a footprint, we had around 900 patients admitted and treated at our facilities, out of which 765 were treated starting November 1st. So you can imagine that only 135 patients were there prior to November. Now, to give you an example, we were around, we were talking about our Williamsport campus, we were having an average of around 80 to 85 patients a day on an ongoing basis in our inpatient units. That has dropped down right now to the mid-30s. So for the last 10 days or so, thankfully, the surge is coming down by almost 50%. And hopefully, this continues.
Yeah, we don't think that we're going to do with that. We went into a post-Thanksgiving surge. Do we think there'll be a post-Christmas surge?
Yes, that is what we were kind of scared of. And there was a little bit of a surge for 4 or 5 days post-Christmas. And then again, things went down. And now we are almost in the third week of January. So I do think probably that phase has passed. If there was a surge, we would have seen a higher number right now. But again, one can never say that with regards to traveling. Like, you know, we go across into New York, Maryland, Philadelphia. So people come and go. So it could be any time. But, you know, sometimes, you know, things plateau down after a particular segment of population develops herd immunity. And after seeing the huge surge, I hope, and I'm seeing that, you know, people in our communities are getting more wary of the virus. They are more scared, and they are probably adhering more to the hand washing and distancing guidelines because they saw what happened post November.
Well, yeah, now everybody's been to a funeral or knows somebody who died from COVID-19. It's, you know, over the summer, the death toll hadn't been that great, fortunately, but terribly, unfortunately, it is now. So everybody would have to know somebody who's named in all the many, many obituaries that are in the newspaper lately. Slow rollout of the vaccines is my statement of what's happening here. What's your view on the speed of the rollout of the vaccines?
I absolutely agree with you. Like, you know, there has been, we were hoping that, you know, it would come up with the warp speed, which apparently, unfortunately, hasn't happened at the speed of the warp. But what has happened was, like, you know, initially, there was a lot of reluctance, a lot of hesitance, and a lot of ifs and buts about, okay, is the vaccine going to be effective? Now, that was put at rest. But then there was also concern among certain population, which is the population 1A, which includes healthcare workers and frontline workers, was there was a little bit of hesitancy initially. Now, not in Susquehanna, like at UPMC Susquehanna, 80% of our employees agreed to take the vaccine. So far, like, you know, we almost vaccinated 3,300 of our employees, of which around 1,200, 1,300 also received their second doses. We at Susquehanna are willing and ready to disseminate the vaccine, but unfortunately, supplies are being limited. They are not coming through to us through the state, even though on January 19th, the state announced that, you know, people above 65 age group will also be included in the group 1A. I think logistically, the supplies did not come at the speed at which everybody would have loved to, including our state, including the country. Hopefully, things are going to ramp up quickly now because there have been multiple states who are demanding that, you know, the supplies are not coming in from the federal source. And even though the vaccines are ready and ready to be shipped out, to make matters worse, there is also going to be around a 10-day lull in which supplies will be limited coming in from Pfizer because they're going to undergo renovations to ramp up the speed of production as well. Because remember, even though we are having the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines being produced locally, they're also being shipped out overseas as well. So there has been some glitch in the production and the transportation of these vaccines, and that has caused a blockade of, like, you know, of the vaccines not being disseminated properly in our communities. But I think it's going to ramp up in the next couple of weeks, for sure.
So I was just going to say, so in the months ahead, we should have plenty of vaccine if somebody wants it.
Oh, yes. And the goal was, and the goal still is, that by the end of May, we should have at least 70% of our population inoculated, especially, of course, if they wanted to. And only then we are looking forward to proper, at least a little bit of normalcy in our summers of this year. So that's the goal, like, you know, late May, early June. You know, many states, like, you know, for example, if you compare New York State, like, you know, unfortunately, they don't even have vaccines to give out to people who really want it, like, you know, because they've exhausted their supplies. But I think things are definitely going to get ramp up with the armed forces also now going to be helping with the dissemination of the vaccine.
And UPMC, did you get flooded with calls and your website super busy yesterday, people scheduling?
Oh, yes. There was actually a lot of chaos and like a lot of misinformation being floating around. So there were a lot of calls coming in. And in fact, my own office got at least 45 calls within a span of 2 hours asking about the vaccine. And we said, yes, we would love to. But like, you know, well, there is a bottleneck up there where the supply should be coming from.
Well, yeah, you're kind of out there, so people would know you. We've put your name on our website many times.
Right.
You were just on TV the other day, and you've been on TV a number of times in the past and on UPMC's sort of globally covered news conferences. Dr. Dalal, I am going to ask you to stand by. We'll be back at 7:40, so I'll pick up ASAP. This time I'll be on time at 7:40. We'll get you back on the radio, and I have more, hopefully frequently asked questions, but more of my questions ready. So stand by, please.
Yeah, no problem. Yep.
Thank you. Dr. Rutal Dalal, the director, medical director of infectious diseases at UPMC Susquehanna. And we're going to be asking him about why the death rate is dropping. That's fabulous news. So we'll talk about why he's able to deliver that information. And vaccine hesitancy, we're going to talk about that. Plus medical vaccine hesitancy. He mentioned the 80%. That means that there's 20% within the UPMC system that have unanswered questions. So we're going to talk about that at 7:40 this morning.
This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. We are literally right in the middle of our interview with Dr. Rutal Dalal. He is the medical director of infectious diseases at UPMC Susquehanna. Thank you so much for joining us for a second segment this morning. We appreciate it, Doctor. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me again.
And I'm running slightly behind, so even when I try to get on time, it doesn't work. I'm as bad as you are. I hate to be so frank about it, but anyway, okay. All right. Tell me about what the near future may hold in terms of the prevalence of COVID-19. Some of the numbers have plateaued, and some of those numbers are going down.
Yes. So, like, you know, this is a very novel and intelligent virus. So having said that, like, you know, as long as the transmission keeps goes on, then the virus is going to still survive in our community. This virus comes in waves. So, like, you know, once our listening area community was, like, was hit badly post-November, and many of the people got the virus, like, you know, and some, of course, unfortunately, people perished. And some develop some kind of immunity, which will last probably for 2.5 to 3 months. And then when the virus comes back the second time, people who did not get the vaccine, people who did not get immune against the virus from natural infections, might be the next target. So we need to cut the transmission. And the biggest way to do that is by getting vaccines and take it when it's available to you. And when you don't have the vaccine, of course, adhere to the social distancing and masking guidelines, because if this virus keeps percolating in our areas, then it will get mutated, and that's when things can go wrong.
Now
so, absolutely. Things are getting better now for now, because like we did see a huge surge, and so the last 10 days, our numbers are plateauing.
And the death rate is going down as well. Why did the death rate spike up so high recently?
Well, because we did have a lot of vulnerable population. People who died were mostly above the age of 70, and people who were younger than them had also comorbidities, which means medical conditions would make you more prone or susceptible to dying. And the number one cause was excessive weight, followed by diabetes and high blood pressure. As of now, as of yesterday, we had around 900 patients treated on our UPMC Susquehanna campuses, and almost the death rate was almost 13.6%. Now, of course, like, you know, that is falling down because whoever got the virus, whoever was more susceptible to get severe disease, and whoever was more likely to perish, unfortunately, did not make it. And hence, now it has moved on to the next stage of, like, you know, the more relatively more healthier population, and hence our death rates have also gone down. And at the same time, people have also developed some kind of a temporary herd immunity, if you will, in our area, which probably can last anywhere from around 2 to 3 months. Having said that, you know, there's no guarantee the virus can affect even healthy individuals, and for reasons unknown, they also could succumb to the illness. So we're still not out of the woods yet, but yes, at least we can see clear a little bit of a ray of sunshine towards the end.
Well, and I think it was one of your remarks. You observed that by the time Christmas came around and people were ready to gather, we were already in the middle of the post-Thanksgiving surge. So people could see if you gather, intermingle family and friends, and you could get that. So I think that may have helped us a little bit to keep the surge as big as it was, to keep it from getting even greater, because that was underway when Christmas came around, so people could see it was quite real. Vaccine hesitancy. Tell me about this. How are you answering the kind of questions folks have? How prevalent is that, and what impact it will have? Give us some remarks on vaccine hesitancy.
Yes, I was hoping you'd ask this question. It's a very important one, because the number one cause of vaccine hesitancy came in was with the way or with the speed with which the vaccine was developed. The number two was people thought there was a lot of political interference, and it did look like probably there was some salesmanship going on with regards to companies, researchers, as well as from the overall administration. So when this happens, like, there's a lot of mistrust which starts happening, especially in the minority groups, as well as, like, you know, people who are actually, like, you know, are probably pregnant or, like, breastfeeding or lactating, because they point out that, you know what, enough age groups, enough ethnicities, and enough different strata of people were not included in the studies. And when that happens, there's a lot of questions about the safety and efficacy of the vaccine. See, typically, Mark, it takes around 15 years to get a vaccine developed. The fastest vaccine which was developed was the mumps vaccine, M-U-M-P-S, which took around 4.4 years to be developed. And this vaccine came under 1 year. So there was obviously a lot of ifs and buts, like, were there any shortcuts taken? Secondly, what happened was when this vaccine came out, like, and this was like a genetic mRNA vaccine, which Pfizer and Moderna came out, like, many people who are people who are not attached to medical science or to don't belong to the scientific fraternity were thinking they had never heard this kind of vaccine. All we had heard was live and killed vaccine. Now, what I tell people is, like, you know, well, you do know, like, you know, having running headlights on when you're doing the day or wearing a seatbelt is good for you, and that helps save lives. You do question it, but then you get the answer. So the same thing like this, like, you always wear a seatbelt while driving. This vaccine is going to help you. And the biggest reason what we can give them is, like, look, as a healthcare worker, I took it myself. I took both the doses. I'm standing on my 2 feet. And many others like me have done it. So if I can do it, why can't you? And I asked them the question, okay, you're hesitant. Okay, give me the exact reason why. Let me help you answering those questions. And that also goes out to my other medical colleagues. Unfortunately, because, you know, sometimes even they are scared about whether I'm going to put this foreign entity into my body. What's going to happen? Like, you know, because things can happen after many, many years as well. So I go with the science. I said this is a genetic mRNA vaccine, which is a completely killed particle of already a killed virus. So I just tell them, like, you know, probably this is the enamel of a shark tooth. It's not even a shark tooth which is going into your body. So it's just a genetic code which encodes for a specific protein with which the virus attaches itself. is easily biodegradable. It doesn't get into the nucleus of the human cell. So the chances of side effects causing cancers, causing long-term side effects are extremely low. This is the most safe and efficacious vaccine to date, which we have had over many, many years.
Well, I guess elaborate on why you know it is safe, if you don't mind. I mean, you manufacture it in a process just like you make widgets at a factory. It doesn't go through this old egg and protein and preservation process and that steeping process and multiplication process that used to happen. You know, they make this on an assembly line like widgets.
Yeah. So basically, as I had said earlier in my earlier segment, like, you know, that you have to go through animal studies, and there are three sets of animals. Like, you know, the closest to the vertebrates, which is because we have a vertebral column, humans, is actually done the last. So then you go through rhesus monkeys and through mice first, and then you go up the ladder to the rhesus monkeys, and then eventually it goes on to the humans. All of these studies happen at the same time. So having said that, like, you know, to extract the genome, like, you know, we need to find a, you know, there was a human genetic DNA project going on where we extracted the human DNA. So this DNA was extracted through the virus. There are always these studies going on viruses in bats, in ducks. It's worldwide. So as soon as we got the genetic code of this particular virus, it was extracted. There were already studies going on in Britain with regards to this particular virus, because we had cousins of COVID, like such as SARS and MERS infections years ago. And so we already knew what can cause this virus, like, you know, virus to multiply. The only big question was, how do we, like, you know, put that in an envelope so it enters into the body, stays in there at least for a few hours before the immunity kills it. But before that, we also wanted our memory cells to grasp the information and be ready when the real infection comes on. So the only biggest thing was that, you know, once you extracted the DNA, RNA actually, of this particular virus, you just put it in an envelope. It's a very, very quick process. Like, you know, in fact, we are not lucky to have this in all different types of infections or pathogens which we have had so far. So that's the reason why you can see that on an assembly line, things can be put in very quickly. Because all you need is that fat layer, like the vehicle through which this virus particle can be injected into the human body. It's a very novel way of doing it. It's very quick, and on top of it is very smart as well to put this thing in there. You don't need to, like, you know, I need to have a preservative, as you said, put it in the egg media, wait for it to, like, incubate. No, all you need to do is just get this virus out, make copies of it, and keep chipping it away. You can kill it at, like, the virus is very easily killed at high temperatures, at around 65 degrees. And then once you do that, you just extract the particular protein, you cleave it, you like, you know, through special techniques, so you can just, like, divide the protein chains, and then you just extract that one particular protein chain, put it in a Ziploc bag, I should say, like, you know, that's where the lipid envelope is. And then that's it. It's already in a small little vial. Of course, you store it at varying degrees of temperatures, depending on the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine. And you're ready to go.
Well, any other really important topic to discuss? We have a minute left. So what would be the most important thing you could tell our audience in your view?
Well, I would say, like, you know, be patient. The vaccine is coming in. When it's offered to you, please do take it. It's very safe. It's efficacious. It works very well. It gives you protection up to 95% against mild to moderate COVID infection, and almost 100% against severe COVID infections, which can put you into the hospital or on your deathbed. And please, until then, adhere to masking and social distancing and hand washing. We have fought this since March of 2020. We just got a few more months to go, maximum 4 to 5 months, and then I think we should be ready to get back to some kind of normalcy in our lives. So please, get the vaccine whenever you can get it, and trust the science.
Well, I hope that we get chances in the future after all this is said and done to check back in with you. It's always been very informative. I have 100 other questions I can ask about other topics that I'll bet you could answer. So we'll definitely be in touch in the future, and we'll have you back on as soon as possible. Thank you so much, Doctor. Very much appreciated.
Well, thank you again, and thanks for talking to me twice.
I appreciate that. Dr. Rutal Dalal, the Medical Director of Infectious Diseases at UPMC Susquehanna. We thank Tyler Wagner, who's the go-to guy up there, to make sure that we get connected with the experts at UPMC. So we appreciate his help and hard work.